Good morning, everyone. I've been looking forward to giving this presentation for all week, and I've got it down to about 30 minutes. I want to recognize my collaborators. We've got one climatologist, and the rest of us, well, all of us, have an interest in crop growth modeling. In the bushland area where I'm from, Texas Panhandle, our growing season precipitation is 12 inches. Cotton needs about twice that, or better. So if we're going to grow cotton with not such a bad yield, we're going to need to irrigate. Irrigation water that we pump comes from the Ogallala. And the Ogallala underlies, like, what, parts of 8 different states. However, the groundwater recharge is zero south of Nebraska. So as water is pumped from the Ogallala, the water table declines because you're using that resource. And this resource has been used for a while. It goes back to the 1940s. We're looking at something that's underway for almost 80 years. In the area where this photograph was taken, that lift height has gone up by double. It's 260. And the flows from these wells, you might tie a half dozen wells together just to get half of this production. So your options are irrigate less area, or by focusing your water, maybe irrigate less area, or use precipitation. Now, you've heard of the El Nino Southern Oscillation Index. This is related to the equatorial Pacific sea surface temperatures. If it's warm between South America and Indonesia, you get an El Nino, and water gets up in the atmosphere, and we get rain. In bushland, we got 4 inches of rain in April of a nice El Nino year. The La Nina that followed, this is a cold water condition now, reduced our rainfall to a tenth of an inch. So, actually less. And this is not something that happens occasionally and in one localized spot. All of Texas benefits from an El Nino. Much better rain, except it's a little cooler. In a La Nina year, you see, in Texas anyway, it's warmer and drier. But our objective was to optimize cotton yield under these variable irrigation applications in relation or as altered by that ENSO phase. Now, I kind of neglected to point out that El Nino comes up about every 4 years-ish. A La Nina comes up or appears every 6 years or so, maybe 8. So what we're looking at is something that, unless you have an unusual experiment, it's a period that goes well beyond how long an experiment might run. So this is a made-to-order simulation exercise. And a crop growth simulator I used was Gossen, where we adjusted the initial soil water at 50 or 75%. We adjusted our emergence date and our irrigation parameters. Basically, the 42 years from 1959 through 2000 were where we got our actual weather, and we used that in the model to do these projected yields. We classified our ENSO phases using either these 5 months averages centered about September and October, which puts you kind of in the mature part of the El Nino phases, or 3 months ending in June, which would be something you might actually use to manage your crop. Irrigation factors were to apply, 2.5 through 5 millimeters of irrigation, which is like 2 through 4 gallons per minute per acre. For application durations of 4 through 10 weeks. So of course I know you recognize this figure. It's part of a paper that I published in the Agronomy Journal last September, page 1559, if you're wondering. But anyway, you see here from these data, yes, indeed, the irrigation rate effects significantly change our yield. Irrigation duration increases yield from 4 to 6 and beyond 6 weeks. Surprisingly, didn't see much of a reduction due to the delayed emergence for a week or two. Continuing on, an El Nino, which gets more rainfall, we had about 2 inches more rain. We had, again, significant irrigation rate effects and a diminished irrigation duration effect. Basically, 4 weeks was different than the others. Now, a best-case scenario would be the El Nino years where we had good initial soil water content. And in this case, there's really a limited or small effect due to the irrigation rate or duration. You certainly want to have your cotton planted on schedule, though. So that's the good news. I mean, then it gets a little dicey after that. The September-October, which I think is a good estimate of classifying the El Nino phase, identified these 10 years as La Nina. And when we used the April, May, June information, we were actually able to classify 8 of those 10 correctly. The El Nino years, there were 14 of them, and we classified 9 of those correctly. So basically 80% or 65%. Life is grand unless you start putting in what you missed and what you got wrong. Then we're looking at hitting 2/3 of the time, and over here you can flip a coin. So I've been admonished by my reviewers not because I didn't include the April, May, June data in these plots or these tables. So I'm going to turn over a new leaf. This is April, May, June data for a La Nina year where we're using 50% initial soil water content, irrigated for 4 or 8 weeks. The dry land yields was 130 kilograms per hectare for both 4 and 8 weeks. So it doesn't matter how long you don't irrigate it, your dry land yields are the same. Ah, come on, that was a good joke. Uniform irrigation increased our yields by 100% to 260 kilograms per hectare, increasing the irrigation rate by an additional 50%, increased yield by 60% here compared to this one, doubling the irrigation from uniform here, basically more than doubled our yield. Going from 4 weeks to 8 weeks, we increase these yields where we're irrigating by about 25%, 20-25%. Now, you'll notice the 70 millimeter, that would be the amount of water you apply to a uniform field. Basically, that means then your uniform irrigation is going to be 260 kilograms. By focusing the water here, we increased our net yield to 320 and 350. You get the same basic effect over yonder at the 8 weeks. It's just a little bit higher yield. Now, a lot of folks tell me you won't roll a stripper for 130 kilograms per hectare. I mean, gee whiz, diesel's more than that. Well, fine. If you take out the dry land contribution here and here, you still come in at 285 or 280 kilograms per hectare. So the yields are better than if you uniformly irrigate. So take-home message is, for a La Nina and weak soil water, you definitely want to focus your irrigation. I personally like the 2-to-1. This is almost the same sort of data. It includes the 50 and the higher 75% initial soil water and these delayed emergence. The effects here are basically the same. You know, focus applications are good. You increase your initial soil water to 75% and the yields go up to where people aren't going to abandon their dry land production. Again, you know, delay emergence is not a good thing, but still, your focused production or focused irrigation yields are better than uniform. Now, I thought it would be worthwhile to put in the part about how the other phases work. Now, definitely the La Nina works better if you focus your irrigations. Now, the other question is the part that isn't La Nina, the neutral or El Nino years. Yes, indeed, the focused irrigation is better, but not that much better than uniform application for the neutral. Might be easier just start over here with the higher initial soil water content. You know, you've got good strong yields, but you do not obtain or achieve that much of a benefit by focusing your water compared to the uniform application. About the only different or only exception would be this neutral phase. So, let me summarize. Where we have this cooler equatorial sea surface temperature, that's a deeper ocean current effect. That gets you away from this seasonal locking. I read that somewhere. So your La Nina phase is probably something you can actually predict with a certain degree of confidence. And it's something you could do early enough to direct your irrigation. So if you've got a La Nina, you're going to have better luck with focus application. I personally like 2-to-1, but you focus your irrigations to boost your yield. If you knew for a fact it was an El Nino, you definitely would be better to spread your water and uniformly apply your irrigation. That being said, if you definitely know it's not a La Nina, I'd still spread my water, I'd still spread the water. Unless I had dry soil, then I might focus on a 2-to-1 ratio. And that's essentially the conclusion. If you know it's a La Nina coming, that's trouble. Focus your irrigation applications so that your water meets crop demand during the growing season. If it's not La Nina, then you might be better off to do the uniform application that spreads your water. And as time goes by and they get better at predicting or determining if it's an El Nino phase coming, then, of course, our management practices will go along much better, I hope.
All right. We have time for maybe one quick question.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Okay, if you identify the phase in the fall, there's no guarantee that that's going to carry through to the next year. That's why we're using April, May, June. That's about as early as the atmosphere can be entrained to the sea surface temperature. That being said, since this is cold water or deeper ocean currents affecting that cooler surface in the equatorial Pacific, my thinking is that it'll probably punch through to the summer. I would certainly use my triggers in the spring, not the fall, to make that guess. A lot of the stuff you do, you're going to do anyway. It's just when you start irrigating in July or June, then you can use the April, May, June information. It's a gamble in that case.
Thank you.
Thank you.